everybody. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, and of course, I'm joined by Arganis. And you may notice this week that the forces of romance have separated us. I'm in a, let's say, secret location, working on another project, and Arganis has been dragged away. But we are united by the wonders of technology, and we're going to plow on for the next couple of shows. Prizes for those who guess where I may be. CIA black site? You never know. And where would we start? Yet again, USAID. The catastrophe that just keeps on giving for us here at Moscow Mules. Now, we knew that it was rotten to the core, you know, National Endowment for Democracy, USAID. We've known for a long time that this complete show was just that, funding the most retarded and ridiculous things on a global scale. Let's have a look at a little internet meme from something from out there in internetsville, which kind of says it all about the absolute lunacy of USAID. Run it, Uggy.
No.
The baby. No. Yeah, yeah. The dogs in the street now. The dogs in the street now know that this is a complete show. And, you know, let's talk about some of the actual things that we might not have got to last week when we were talking about USAID. And we saw it coming, we saw the train coming down the track. And one of them, which I suppose defines the insanity of USAID more aptly than others, is the funding of a school, Oggy, in Pakistan, right? I mean, they spent a few bob on this incredibly elaborate, lush, beautiful building. This is high level. This is five-star Pakistani school. Run it, Uggy. Oh, man, look. I mean, you know, they have the sign up and everything saying, you know, we're very proud we built it. USAID. USAID. I don't know.
Dude, this is first class.
I mean, it's just pretty grim, right? I mean, I don't think there's even any windows, you know? It's just, you know, where did actual money go? This is the question. All, you know, this was a big ticket school, you know, millions of dollars to build a shed out of muck and straw, basically. No windows. You know, it's like something from, 1820. So where did the cash actually go, Uggy?
I think the money actually went to line the pockets of politicians and the favorite part, right, is to protect Biden's interests.
So let's not forget just how USAID was used as a carrot and a stick when it came to US foreign policy. And in particular, one instance which Arganis has dug up out of the dustbins of the old interweb is when Joe Biden, a certain Joe Biden, the big guy, he decided that he wanted a prosecutor rid of in Ukraine. Now, that prosecutor seems to have been asking the wrong questions. Now, forget the fact that old Sleepy Joe's son, Hunter, had been appointed to the board of Burisma, basically a state gas body, for a job that he had no idea what to do. And don't forget, Hunter admitted that if his second name wasn't Biden, he would have never got the job. He actually admitted that, right? And Joe decided to withhold $1 billion in aid from USAID to the Ukrainians unless this particular prosecutor got fired. Imagine that. And of course, remember, it's the Russians who are interfering in people's internal policies. It's the Russians who are, you know, applying pressure. At least, you know, in the reality of the US world, they don't even try to hide it, because Biden certainly didn't. Run the video, Augie.
And I was supposed to announce that there's another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so he's not even hiding it. He's not even pretending. He's basically boasting about the fact that he could get the chief prosecutor in one of the most corrupt countries in the world fired unless they did what they were told. I mean, what is that? Is that not influence? Is that not external influence? I mean, is that not exactly what they allege the Russians have been doing, Augie?
I think there is a word for this in crime, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's a word for it, all right. Oh, yeah. Corruption. So, Augie, that's about it, you know. You guys should be, you know, very sad, very upset that USAID has been exposed for what it was, you know. It hasn't done anything wrong. Everything was fine. You know, you shouldn't be upset that Joe, who, remember, has pardoned his son and everybody else in the Biden crime family ahead of even being charged. Why would you do that if you've done anything wrong? Of course, you've done nothing wrong. Joe is a good guy, 10% for the big guy. And you definitely, right, Augie, should not be, feeling a bit of schadenfreude as you watch the son of Count Dooku himself, Alex Soros, the man now in charge, cozying up to all the libtards in the West. Asked him in Romania, asked him in Georgia how important Mr. Soros is. Mm-hmm, they might have something to say. So you shouldn't feel happy to see him basically having a libtard meltdown. Run it, Augie.
When we talk about things in the United States, like, you know, like checks and balances, which aren't written anywhere, but are customs, and one man, Donald Trump, literally came in and just, you know, took that, you know, took
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah, go on. Away. It's so sweet. It's so nice to watch. I mean, I feel bad that I feel good.
He sounds like he's going to cry now, look at you know?
What's Daddy going to say? You know, all happened on your watch, Alex. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, all happened on your watch. It all went to
That everybody got along. Yes. So
I wonder how much money he's made personally, and, you know, from all these regime change operations. Great.
I mean, I think, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love those glasses steaming up with rage. How dare they choose their own government in Romania, in Georgia? How dare you, as our old friend Greta would say. Now, you might be wondering just why little Alex is so upset that Daddy's empire might be getting a good kick in the nuts because of the big Don driving, a semi-truck right through the middle of their little regime change operations. But there might be something else to it, Augie, right? I think Alex and the Soros family might have been stung in the pocket somewhat by the actions of the big Don. Am I correct, Augie?
You are correct, Che. And our dear viewers, I've got two headlines for you, mm-hmm. and then you make the picture for yourself. First headline, according to the Wall Street Journal, George Soros lost nearly $1 billion in weeks after Trump election.
Ooh.
And the second one is the Hungarian government claims that Soros Network is relocating headquarters from Washington to Brussels.
Uh-huh.
Got new friends.
Yeah. Let's all converge and meet on the Death Star. Yeah. So we're going to leave USAID for a minute, but we're going to talk about something which is also related to USAID. Funding. Funding of kind of crazy, not only around the world, but also for people like good old Anthony Fauci. Remember the guy that told us we're all about to die from basically getting a cold? Yeah, COVID. Remember that? Told us all we had to take this vaccine, which has killed a ton of people and probably made you feel worse than the cold you were going to catch if you got COVID. Some really insane revelations have come out now about just what US taxpayers' money, that's you guys, was being used for in the United States under the tutelage and guidance of good old Mr. Fauci. And guess what, Augie? I think Mr. Fauci was also put on the list of people who can't be charged with any crime over the stuff they did because they did nothing wrong, right? Let's have a listen to some of the Frankenstein type insanity that was going on under Mr. Fauci's guidance, let's say. Run it, Augie.
Implant aborted baby parts into lab animals. Have you heard of that sort of research?
Yeah, we did an analysis a few years ago showing that over 90% of experiments with using human fetal tissue and putting them involved animals were funded by Fauci's NIAID.
I mean, absolutely insane stuff. This is like science fiction. It's like a bad science fiction movie, right, Augie? I mean, implanting bits of dead children, babies, fetuses, into other animals. What is that even for? Like, what sort of crazy is this? So there you go. Implanting pieces of fetuses, which are babies, okay? We were all fetuses once, don't forget it. Implanting pieces of babies who were aborted by young students in very, vulnerable situations. How they got the fetuses, we don't know. How they managed to get to implant them into other animals. What kind of crazy alien Frankenstein is this? Augie, what's the sort of details?
I mean, it looks like Mr. Fauci, our dear viewers, is some crazed-ass maniac that really, really hates your f***ing animals. So his career has begun with him infecting chimpanzees with HIV and promising to us that we're going to have AIDS vaccine back in the 80s.
And don't forget, just like many of Biden's crony crew, Mr. Fauci's personal wealth went through the roof during COVID. Chink, chink. Follow the money, Yogi. Follow the money. Now, staying in the USA, health isn't the only thing that's going to be changing. Maybe, you know, at RFK stirring things up there, they're all going to compete to see who can shake it down to the biggest extent. And Mr. Hegseth, the new Secretary of Defense, is definitely doing the same kind of thing. He has basically dropped a couple of truth bombs in Germany, in Munich, and while talking to the Ukrainians. It's kind of a dose of reality. It's the type of stuff that we've been basically saying here for a long time on the Moscow Mules. Many independent journalists, people who are objective, nobody believed that the Ukrainians were going to ever beat the Russians. It was a fantasy. And guess what? Western media melts down as soon as Mr. Hegseth says, you know, they're never going to join NATO. We know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. Let's start dealing in the real world. This is a trip to the, you know, the psychiatrist for the Western elites who have convinced themselves, getting high on their own supply of propaganda. Let's have a look, Augie, at how Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, the crooked granddad, you know, perceived Ukraine's entrance into NATO. It's not a matter of when, how, it's a matter of when. Same old bullshit. And let's have a look at what Mr. Hegseth says. This is a really interesting little video which shows the massive shift in U.S. foreign policy. Run it, Augie.
It's not about whether or not they should or shouldn't join. It's about when they can join, and they will join NATO.
The United States does not believe that NATO membership for Ukraine is a realistic outcome of a negotiated settlement.
So let's have a look at how little Vlad, even, has decided to become interested in the geology of Ukraine. Problem is, most of it's now under Russian control, and it's always going to be under Russian control because these parts of ex-Ukraine used to be parts of the Russian Empire, and then again, they are now part of the Russian Federation, and that ain't changing anytime soon. So you want to deal, you're going to have to deal. Let's have a look. And Augie, take note that all the names on the map are strangely in English. Mm-hmm. Run it, Augie.
Це не про десятки мільярдів, це трильйони грошей. Ось бачите, чому вони постійно говорять про те, що вони хочуть забрати Запорізьку область повністю, Донецьку область. Енергетика, ось вам марганцеві руди, ось вам титан, ось вам залізо. Ми говоримо з Сполученими Штатами Америки, давайте заробляти гроші разом, ми будемо щасливі заробляти з тими, хто це захищає.
So, that point about everything being in English, this kind of looks like kind of a sales brochure, more than a map, right?
How do I sell this country to foreigners?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unbelievable. And it's like a fire sale, because you know that every day goes by, there's less and less of Ukraine left to sell. So you break the news to what remains of your population, you know, the men you're dragging off the streets, the grandfathers, the uncles. There's hardly anybody left at this stage. And, you know, it's pretty hard on morale. It's also hard on morale when you actually hear that the big Don and President Putin are basically doing a deal about your country, or ex-country, and they're not even asking the little narco Fuhrer to the meeting. So how do you raise morale, Augie, I wonder? Let me think. Tell people that there's going to be peace, that there's going to be a peace dividend, that things are going to get better. We're going to rebuild the country. Peace is better than war. Maybe not. Why don't we put a stupid-looking Cossack, like something like a genie in the lamp, up on top of a tank, spinning round and round, waving a couple of swords about. That's bound to do the trick, right, Augie? Run the video. Of course, the dogs in the street in Ukraine and elsewhere know that there's nobody really left who wants to fight for the narco-Fuhrer. He's selling the country anyway. So what would you do? Well, let's tell everybody who's 18 and above, you know, the draft age is basically being dragged downwards as the army is destroyed for the fifth or sixth time. And let's convince them, you're going to give you $24,000, huge amount of money in Ukraine, if you join up, if you're 18 and above, to try and get the younger generation, most of whom are in Europe now, and if you're the son or daughter of an elite, you're probably in St. Moritz or in Monaco. That's the way to do it. Tell them they're going to get 24 grand. But I think there's a catch with this one, Huggy. You're going to be sent, if you do take Vlad's cash bonus, you're going to be sent straight to the front line, right? But you're only going to get the big payday if you make it back. And there ain't a lot of Ukrainian soldiers making a return trip from the front these days, Augie, correct?
It is correct.
And of course, when you're living in a country which is basically an open-air prison, where people have been dragged off the streets, dispatched to their certain death, there's a certain black humor. I mean, the Russians and Ukrainians, Belarusians, are all very similar people, essentially, one big family, Adin Simya. And they have a kind of a, as I say, dark sense of humor. And that has kind of flourished during these dark times in Ukraine. Let's have a look at a very innovative video online showing Ukrainians how to avoid dying for Ursula von der Leyen and Mr. Rutte in the NATO proxy war. There's a bit of the Anne Frank about this, I think, Augie. Let's have a look. Fascinating stuff. Run the video.
It literally is like this. It literally is like this. Check this out. And then she covers it with the sofa.
It's terrible.
Zelensky, you're not getting this man to die.
Horrible, isn't it? It's like horrible, the lengths people go to. And another reason why Zelensky and his cabal don't want this conflict to end is the tons of money being made by local commanders, absolutely rotten with corruption. This is why Ukrainian corpses are left to rot on the battlefield. You know, tens and tens of thousands of people are missing because their benefits are still being paid to local commanders, and that's going in their pockets. Not to mention the amount of weapons and cash that's being funneled out of the Ukro scam and turning up in places like Spain, weapons turning up in places like Ireland. Now, somebody might have said that at the United Nations when they were asked to speak there about the proliferation of weapons. Moi. And of course, I was called a conspiracy theorist and a lunatic by the Ukrainian ambassador to the United Nations, who refused to speak to me. Augie, I think Mr. Tucker Carlson, a good friend of ours here on the Moscow Mules, also had a few things to say about this.
Correct. Just this week, we saw him saying that Ukrainian military elites are making huge profits by selling weapons they received to, you know, criminal gangs and, of course, Mexican cartels.
Now, talking about Mexican cartels, a few interesting videos have emerged of the old sicarios, let's say, with some anti-tank weapons slung over their shoulders. Now, there's only one place that this type of weapon could have come from. Now, this isn't the javelin, which they say in the video, but it's an AT-4. It's a very advanced British manufactured, if I'm not incorrect, anti-tank weapon, which could basically take out a main battle tank. So what chance would a Jeep full of cops have? Run the video, Augie.
Presunto miembro del cártel del Golfo en Tamaulipas fue grabado portando una de las armas más exclusivas y poderosas, un javelin, que en teoría se vende únicamente al ejército y ha sido utilizado durante la invasión a Ucrania, por ejemplo. En el mercado negro, esa arma que lleva a su derecha, la otra es una AK-47, a la derecha lleva esta arma que cuesta en el mercado negro unos entre 20 mil y 60 mil dólares.
You got to ask yourself, the amount of money that's been spent in Ukraine on a useless proxy war, a failed proxy war, the amount of cash, trillions of dollars spent in Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Iraq, against this manufactured threat. How about the USA and its allies and friends and some of its adversaries, Russia, China, everybody gets together and wipes out the scourge of the narco dealers, the boys in Mexico. Let's have a go at them. Why not pump some of the cash in? And guess what? You're going to probably turn up against your own weapons, old Uncle Sam, when you turn up there, because we know that these weapons are flushing out of Ukraine into these gangs. Why not put the cash together and give these boys a good kick in the ass? Just an idea. Meanwhile, as the rest of the world moves towards accommodation and peace, you know, the US And, you know, the Kremlin have basically completely sidelined poor old Mr. Lamy and Ursula. They really are not that relevant anymore. And while this is happening, what is the EU doing? Well, it's doubling down on its Russophobic drivel speak. You know, recently these powerhouse countries where old Kallas Kallas is from, you know, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, you know, these minnow sort of aggressors, what are they doing? Well, we're celebrating the cutting off of Russian energy. Oh, it's such a critical blow to the Russians, right? Okay, this is the end for the Kremlin. The war machine will grind to a halt. Not. But what's most interesting and cringy and crap about it all is how they really lay on the theater. You know, they're just determined to be gay as f***. Run it, Augie.
Please activate the connection.
Activate the connection. Retard. It's like something out of an old Flash Gordon film, like something Dr. Zyarkov. Activate the connection. What is she plugging in a new concentration camp like her granddad? Bitch. Activate the connection. Raus. It all sounds kind of familiar, right? Yeah. And while they're, you know, telling you that it's a big success that you decapitate yourself from cheap, reliable, clean Russian energy. Remember, Russian energy is the reason the European economy grew post-war, essentially. As soon as Russia started to supply the energy, things started to go well. As soon as they cut it off, it all went to and rolls down the hills, right, Augie? And it's the ordinary, you know, taxpayer and bill payer that's going to suffer from this, not Ursula von der Leyen or Kallas Kallas or Mr. Rutte. These dudes are all going to be in their mountain villas, you know, burning logs, you know, eco-warriors. Augie, I believe the situation in good old, the good old garden of the European Union is going from bad to worse when it comes to energy, am I not correct?
Absolutely correct, Che. In fact, our dear viewers, the the prices for electricity in those very Baltic states have made a little jump. They used to be around 55 euros per megawatt hour, and now it's 230 euros for the same amount of energy. So it's like four times more. But here's a catch. 230 euros, that's without, you know, fines and taxes and fees. If you add all of that, the end user, which is, you know, an average Baltic Russophobe, the price will be around 400.
What? Hey, Augie, that's what they call winning in the EU. So sadly, that brings us to the end of another visit to the clown show, Clown World. Augie and I amazed, really, just how angry Europe is with the idea of peace. But don't forget, three people in particular have a lot to lose if peace breaks out in Ukraine. First one is Volodymyr Zelensky, who will lose his job, maybe lose his head in the political vacuum that ensues. The next one is Ursula von der Leyen, who has basically invested her whole political career and capital into a win in Ukraine. And of course, the last one is Mr. Rutte, whose little NATO club has been shown to be, you know, basically toothless. They walked Ukraine up the Primrose Path and then dumped them into the pond. Well, exciting times, and we'll be here next week to narrate the story as it evolves. The Big Don Juggernaut seems to be doing everything except slowing down, and we're going to be here, same time, same place, to tell you all about it next week. We'll see you then.